Charlotte Soccer Show. Danny Brahms, what's going on? John Hayes here. It's a Wednesday evening live on YouTube. It's good to see you, Danny. And I'm excited to talk about this big match on Saturday.
Good to see you, Johnny. I'm coming at you live from the void. floating head, disembodied body. Well, not disembodied, but I feel like I'm a floating entity here in the dark.
You're literally an avatar.
I'm an avatar, yeah. Exactly,
you're not just a talking head in a box. You're an avatar in a box.
Exactly. Am I AI? Is it Danny Brahms AI? Who knows? We'll see what I can come up with. Could you imagine a chat GPT trying to replicate the insane mind of Danny Brahms? I don't think it could happen personally.
There's AI on StreamYard now where you can touch yourself up. At some soon, you're going to be seeing fake people using filters on streaming platforms. You're going to have to ask yourself, are these people real or fake? Is Patrick Ajimong really starting for Charlotte FC in the playoffs over their DP number 9 striker who just got the call up for Poland? Is that real? Yeah. Or is that actually a fake robotic storyline that we're witnessing in front of us, Danny Brahms? Patrick Ajimong, he does it again. He steps up to the spot with the pressure on, everything on his shoulders in that moment, and smashes it into the back of the net. He goes the full 90. Pat gets it done in one of the most pressure-packed environment, the most pressure-packed environment. And Christian Kalina as well. Give flowers to MLS's best goalkeeper, who proved he is the shot-stopping mastermind in PK situations. Charlotte FC was at its best in the game to win against Orlando, Danny.
I mean, we're always at best when we're defending the fortress and protecting the keep, right? You know, the caption I came up with was Christian Kalina, shootout god. First off, I want to say, finish off the earlier, you know, digression. The only filter that I'm interested in is the late 90s rock band that's saying, "Hey man, nice shot." So there'll be you'll never see any filters on this guy right here as I date myself and age myself a little bit there with the musical reference. But we're back, Johnny, and it was great to be back with you at Hopfly, doing it up for what's probably the last home match of the year, unless something crazy happens. We did it up drinking some great beers.
Wait. What do you mean if something crazy happens? All that needs to happen is that Charlotte FC beats Orlando and Atlanta beats Miami.
I'm pretty feeling confident about one of those things happen. I mean, we wouldn't be here if we didn't think Charlotte could beat Orlando. But
that's Atlanta going beating to Miami a game three.
Like a stretch. Yeah, Atlanta.
That's going to a game three.
It could happen. It's not crazy, crazy. I mean, they beat them once, but I don't know. Whether we end up hosting Atlanta in the conference semis or traveling to Miami, I just want to get there. But it was a beautiful feeling to be in the supporters bar in the Lowe's tap room one more time with you, with all the good people in this world, in this crazy community. Sadly, I couldn't bring my cat Crackers, but he's making his voice known here on the show tonight. He's very upset about being locked out of my room. Yeah, it was a great night. And even though, like, it was one of those nights, I was talking to a friend of the show, Hannah Milby, one of the truest, my ride or die, she's always got an inside line at my second season ticket ever, because I can't give this thing away half the time except to her. But we were talking and we're like, yeah, you know, the match was okay. It was a little bit boring, but the shootout was just electric. And all you're going to remember from that Friday, those Friday night lights at the keep, was just that shootout feeling. Kalina saving the first penalty to how a shootout can be so on edge, and you're like, oh, like, are we going to do this? And it can sort of drag on and on. But when you save the first one, it's pretty nice. And it was a beautiful night. One that I will remember, one of the most memorable moments of this season, easily.
I said on the show in the last couple of weeks that it felt like PKs were coming. And this series was going to at some point feature PKs, and we finally got that. And it was a nervy moment. It was the best moment in Charlotte FC history, of course, mm-hmm. at the stadium. There's no doubt about that. During that moment, for sure. There's maybe one other moment I can think of. What are you thinking about?
So I'm thinking I had three. See, it's funny that you bring that up, because you and I did not have this conversation, but pre-match on Friday. I did have this conversation with friends of the show, Reverend Burl, Chief Kiefer, some other folks who showed up, Justin Kurtz. And I was asking the question, before the match, is this the biggest match in Charlotte FC history? You know, a home match, win or go home situation. And I put it up against the first match, you know, hosting LA Galaxy in the first ever match, I think, you know, setting the record attendance. I think that has to at least be in under consideration. And then the last match of the 2022 season where it was, you had to beat Messi to get into that play-in match, to get into the wild card round of the 22 playoffs. So those were my, and then this Friday night. So those were my three contenders. And I side on the, I come down on the side of Friday night, even without the win, was, which we did get, but it was the biggest match in club history, because playing to get into the wild card game is nice, but, and beating Messi at home is nice, but Miami had already been eliminated in that situation. They weren't really playing for anything. And as great as the opening match was in 2022, we lost that match, and it was nice to be fun. It was a really fun part of the crowd, and it was huge as a spectacle and an event. But as far as meaning something, nothing meant more than this game two against, in the first round against Orlando, to me.
I would rank it the same way, 1, 2, 3, as far as Friday night, the win against Orlando, and then the win against Messi and Inter Miami to get into that game, and then, of course, that opener. But I think there was another match in there I would consider maybe even over the home opener, and I think the home opener falls off my list, and it's that match, that shortened match against, who was it, Columbus?
Columbus, yeah, the makeup match.
On the edge of our seat.
That was a big night for you. Yeah, yeah.
You loved that night. It was a good draw that night, I believe. I believe it was a good draw for the club that night.
That was one of those, if we had had 10 more minutes, we would have won type of draws, because we were putting it on. We were like putting so much pressure on it.
But it meant something for the table that season, for sure. At that moment, was that decision day?
It was just one of those. It was a positioning match, and it meant something for our pride. And it was one of those, like, we felt like we'd been effed over by MLS a little bit, so it was kind of like, you know, it's like we kind of.
I'll have to go back. I'll go back. Brandon Davis, he makes a good comedy. Says for me, Friday night was best ever. Last year versus Miami, third Columbus restart game.
He's you and Brandon him. on a wavelength. I love it. Beat Brandon Davis, one of the great TIFOs of the show, obviously, and I love to.
That's some good affirmation that I'm not just making that up. That was a good match.
No, of course not. I would never lob that accusation your way, my friend. Certainly not.
Looking forwards, let's talk about Saturday. The kickoff is 6 o'clock Eastern time. It's a big match, and the question becomes, how can Dean Smith get this job done? I think that's really where we want to dig in. And
Dayday. Night. I'll just continue aging myself by throwing back old songs that were semi-contemporary to my life and that the kids today have never heard. That's great.
What changes does Dean Smith make? Does he make any changes? Pep Bial, is he back available for this game three, Danny?
He's back. Pep is back. We can assume he will start as, you know, one of the highest paid players on the team, but you never know. Carroll, the second highest paid player, didn't start in game two. So you never really know exactly what Dino's going to throw out there. I was pleased. We can talk more about him starting Patrick Ajimong to go the full 90. But he is back from suspension. He did not get an additional game on his red card offense that he committed in game one, which no one really agreed was a red card, I don't think. Maybe it's our own bias as fans, I'm not sure, and supporters. But even Dean Smith.
I don't think I spent more than a couple seconds debating it, honestly. I just kind of like forgot about it as soon as it happened. It was unfortunate. I wouldn't say it was a good or a bad red card. It was just one of those things that it's like totally unnecessary all the way around.
Yeah, he kicked out. I mean, he was seen as kicking out. Dean always has to. Could you imagine? Do you think Dean's on any referee Christmas card list? I don't think so, because this guy does. As much as I love Dino and he's at the wheel, he does not stop complaining about the refs, which does get a little tiresome at times.
I think it's part of his DNA, which I appreciate, and I think it's part of his English DNA. Ashley Westwood is the same way. Sure, there was a point in time. During the match on Friday where I said to Rachel, I was like, look at Westy working that referee. He was working that ref's ear all night on Friday, just like Dean does. I think it's part of the culture there that there's a lot of communication in a healthy way, but just kind of slanted with banter, with some, you know, maybe some inappropriate language.
He said, "Can I work it? Let me work it. Put my thing down, flip it, and reverse it. I'll just keep going with the old school songs, and we will just never stop that train from rolling." How about it?
Is that Missy Elliott?
That's Missy Elliott. Yes, yeah. And I think the TIFOs agree. Christian Stivison chatting here in the comments. The refs are objectively bad. They get paid the best in the world to be the worst in the world.
I was annoyed at the keep when he wouldn't blow the whistle at the end of the match. I just was kind of astounded that he kind of let that continue. But he won't be – I don't know. Willie P always has the referee report. Go follow Will Pelagic. You can find who's going to referee this match between Charlotte and Orlando, this decisive game three.
You want to talk about decision day. This is decision day. It's going to end one way or the other. And what do you think the chances are, Johnny, that this one goes to another shootout? I titled the episode here Win or Draw in Advance, because there's a lot of discourse. There's a lot of chatter from people all over the soccer world about whether this counts as a win. You know, like, oh, Charlotte FC didn't beat Orlando. They drew them. And then, you know, I don't even know the verb you would use as far as blanked on PKs, because we didn't advance on PKs. We would this time around. But there was, you know, Andrew Wiebe, another friend of the show. We love Wiebe.
Taylor Twellman, you're right. He's somebody that was
way. Yeah, exactly.
Talking about research and historical examples of it being called a win on PKs, a draw with win on PKs, a draw after. Sometimes I see it as labeled AP.
Okay.
Which means after penalties. Like, I've seen a win labeled that way, AP after penalties.
Okay. AP and, US history exam, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that, Danny. I think that makes a lot of sense. But you've got people saying that it wasn't a win, but the bottom line is it in that scenario, it was, because it was a winner go home game. So if you didn't win, you went home, and they didn't go home.
Exactly. We did not go home. Exactly. Here's what really caught my eye, John, apart from like guys like TT and Wiebe, like, you know, giving us the, well, actually, this to me was really wild. Forbes freaking magazine, a business, it's not even a sports publication. They put out an article how Christian Kolina could break MLS's playoff format. This caught the eye of the business world, I suppose, Kolina being a shootout god. And this guy wrote probably about, you know, 2,000, 3,000 words on how, because Kalina's so good at stopping penalties in a shootout, it exposes the issues with MLS's format. And, you know, I mean, you know, I'm glad to see the crown getting attention, I suppose, all over the world. You know, we do sometimes whine when people aren't paying attention to us. So I don't want to be too much of a beggars can't be choosers situation with being happy that we got some. But at the same time, like, is it really Christian Kalina's fault if he's just trying to do his job? He's just playing the rules that MLS has dealt. So don't try to put this on Kalina as like, you know, the thing that effed up MLS's grand playoff plans. It's really weird. It was a weird angle to take from me, you know?
Yeah, like I think it's one of the strangest things I've seen written, that Kalina would break the format. What is that he's ultimately what he's trying to say, and I didn't read this article, but it sounds like to me the headline suggests that Charlotte FC doesn't deserve to move through. Correct. and the gamesmanship of just advancing on PKs is right. Not in the best spirit of the game.
Or AP, as you said, you know, yeah. His whole example that he played out in the article, I did read it. I read it right before we started taping. Actually, it's not like I did a bunch of, you know, just some quick research. But he said, let's say Orlando and Charlotte played three matches in the regular season and Orlando wins one and then draw with no PKs, then it would be 5 points to 2 points, you know? And so, like, how can Charlotte advance 2 points versus five? And it's like, well, PKs happened. It's not like the PKs didn't happen, you know? And I think you know, the commenters are jumping in saying the three-game format is lame, but it is what it is. You know, how can you break which is already broken? Home and away aggregate is the answer, like every other league. I tend to agree. I tend to agree, but that's not. But MLS didn't want to do it that way, so they wanted to add that third game for a little extra box office. And the take I heard was that aggregate scoring doesn't give the home team like what I've always heard explained is, oh, they had to do the best of three format because they wanted to give a little more advantage to the higher seed, and the higher seed doesn't have as much advantage in the aggregate goals scenario, so we want them to have a chance for two home matches instead of just one. And so, like, this was pitched as best of three gives the higher seed better advantage, and then now all of a sudden we find ourselves in a 1-1 situation and everyone's telling us the exact opposite. Oh, this is not fair to Orlando, they might not get to advance. You know, it's just like, which one is it, y'all? Like, which way do you want to go with this? So no one's going to be happy if Charlotte advances, and they're certainly not going to be happy if we end up in a conference semifinal, league quarterfinal against Mighty Messi with a chance to knock them out, or they'll be cheering for Brad Guzan and the boys down at MLS HQ if we end up hosting Atlanta. You know, so I don't know which way to go. Seems like we can't make anybody happy, Johnny, as the crown.
Trying to analyze that article and think about the format and come up with an understanding of what he's trying to say, and also getting the fact that 3 points is 3 points. When you win, that matters. And so when I see the idea of like a 3 points for a win, that's fine. And then think about it this way. You go and you come to Charlotte and you lose on PKs, so you get 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte FC gets two. So at that point, it's 4-2. And you could do something like that, and then you go into a game three and you have a points battle, right?
Yeah.
And but PKs matter in this. PKs are fun in this format. They make sense. Points out there.
Or, you could do a thing with what you're saying is like, oh, Charlotte has to win game three to advance, whereas Orlando would advance on a draw in game three or something like that, since
based
they
on the points.
First game. Yeah.
On the
it gets kind of confusing, but I mean, yeah.
But it falls in line with how globally soccer is recognized and as far as table is concerned.
Yeah.
The three-game series and what matters, Danny? The table.
Right. It's a two-team pool. You know, it's pools of two, you know.
It's a two-team table. Exactly. Yeah. Two-team table. You play each other twice.
Yeah.
Two-team table that you play each other twice and the points highest point total advances. I think that's a way that you could do it that's different, but I really didn't plan to get into that on the show. Just came up with that off the top of my head. It makes sense, but I'm not looking. I don't mind changing things in MLS. MLS changes things all the time.
Good point. Yeah, I think Dean expressed his frustration with the system. You can check out, or you know, we have a short on I'll plug the YouTube page and say, you know, if you're not already subbing, make sure you sub, because we published lots of shorts, and that was a short that I put out, Dean's take on the playoff system. So don't get mad at Dean. Dean didn't really go for this either, but he's working it to his advantage the only way he knows how. And what the bottom line, amidst all this debate, the bottom line is, if Charlotte FC ends up even on goals after 90 minutes in game three down in Orlando on Saturday night, they're going to have a psychological edge heading into a shootout, because we got Christian Kalina and they don't. And he's the goalkeeper of the year.
He really knows what he's doing in the net, and he's proven it time and time again. This isn't the first time we've seen this from Kalina, which makes it, I think, all the praise seem not just reactionary, but totally legitimate as a player that could go down as maybe one that could go down as a Charlotte FC legend. You know, he's the guy.
Yes, drink if you're playing at home when we say club legend. I'm drinking water tonight. What can I say? But
he's somebody that can maybe present himself as that, because he's winning the first potential piece of hardware, the season long mm-hmm. trophy.
Yeah. Well, you're not counting the goalie awards belt. You're not counting Isaac's goalie awards belt. Come on, man.
Sorry, I do like that individual award, and maybe it and Isaiah can keep that. It doesn't have to go into the club trophy case.
Yeah.
But if, also speaking of awards, the season ending awards for Charlotte FC hosted at Pine Island Country Club this week, leading into game three. The awards there, Pine Island, I saw on Instagram shared. The guys from the club, a little gala, excuse me, if you will, at Pine Island, and some awards were given out. A really fun way for the club to finish off the regular season and celebrate the accomplishment, finishing in the top five, and maybe creating some togetherness heading into this game three against Orlando. So in that spirit, Danny Brams, why don't you hand out an award tonight, an award for that game two performance, Christian Kolina, right? You take away Christian Kolina for this award, and who would you, for game two, who would you say deserves an award for their performance in game two, and how would you expect that person to contribute on Saturday in Orlando?
I think I got to give it to the captain. I think I got to give it to the captain. Westwood set the tone. He was much, I think in match one at Orlando, he was not his best match. If you listen to our last episode, I was saying oh, maybe Westwood should have been pulled, you know, someone who was pulled. But he rebounded strongly in match two. I think he set the tone. Again, the match itself before the PKs was a little bit unmemorable. There weren't a ton of great chances really that stick out in my mind.
I thought it was a really, really nice nil-nil. I thought it was a chess match.
Yes, and I thought it was the organization.
It was a chess match.
Yeah, the organization is really what was the defining characteristic to me, and for that I got to give it to the captain for player of the match if it wasn't Kolina, who it actually was. But
yeah. Good call. Yeah, he was omnipresent.
I like it a lot.
For Charlotte FC.
Yeah, I was trying to tell someone I was telling a friend recently who has been to a Charlotte FC match, but she doesn't follow the sport too closely. And I was telling her about Westwood, and I was saying, you know, this is a guy who had reconstructive ankle surgery. He's one of the older players on the team, and he ended up leading the league in distance covered for the, you know, across the pitch. She was pretty impressed. So, you know, there, you know, it's one of those stats that kind of, you tell somebody that even if they're not a super fan of soccer, you say, this guy covers more ground than anyone else. And then you mentioned the injury comeback and things like that. And it's pretty impressive. He was really impressive on Friday night.
Speaking of that and the running capability for this team, we, on the last episode, try to break down some tactics heading into that match. I think we got it pretty close to spot on as far as what this club was going to do in that match. At one point, we did see Karol Swiderski and Patrick Ajimang on the pitch together.
Yeah, last 20 minutes or so. At
the end of that match, we called for Pat to start. We said Vargas is somebody that would be potentially injected into the lineup as well. So tactically looking ahead, what do you think about Dean Smith's setup in this game three? Because for me personally, talking about fitness, talking about the ability to run, Ashley Westwood, yes, he's going to do that in the middle of the pitch. But I'm thinking specifically about players that from the opening whistle are going to press. I think that's how you need to think about this game. This is a running game. It's a nonstop game where Dean shouldn't be afraid to use his bench at the 60th minute, because whoever starts on the front two in that 4-4-2 or the front three, if you want to think about it that way, has run so hard that they're too tired and needs to come off. I think that should be the tactics for this club on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it was a masterstroke. Just simply put, it was a brilliant move to start start Pat over Carol in this match, because it was just something different. And I do think Carol actually does a good job of what you're saying in terms of being someone who presses from the attacking position. But we're talking about Charlotte and Orlando. We're talking about this was the fourth match they played in 2024 between the two of them, and Charlotte has never won in regular time. Went to a 2-2 draw in the home match in June. Orlando beat us 2-0 in mid-September towards the end of the season, and then they beat us 2-0 again and get match one of the series. Then we finally able to shut them out for the first time in this fourth match. And it just got to the point where you had to do something different. You needed some type of different tactics. I loved that Pat was in from the jump, and I think I was smart of Dean. He clearly had his PK strategy in mind, because he, when it was time to bring Carroll in, he didn't sub Patrick off. He left Patrick in because you need Patrick there for the penalties. And like you said, Patrick stepped up and buried that penalty and made it count. And that was huge. And it was nice to be able to, it was nice to be able to win it on a save, because we had made all of our penalties. So I want to see Pat start again, to be perfectly honest. I have no, this is not an anti-Carroll stance. I know the Carroll mafia online might come after us and say, oh, those guys are always bashing Carroll. It's not the case. But just look, you can't argue with the results. When Pat starts, we do better against these guys. Pat, the two games that we've drawn with them had Pat starting, and the two games that we've lost outright were Carroll starting. So, you know, seems pretty obvious to me what we should do in the fifth rubber match, the ultimate season, the five game series rubber match, if you will.
Especially because now you can, and it's obvious that Charlotte FC is going to do this, as obvious as Torres is going to be on that right side against Tim Ream, right? There's mm-hmm. obvious matchups here when it comes to game three. You're going to see these things play out on the pitch right in front of you. And I think ultimately Pep Bial, he comes into the lineup and everybody knows he's going to be hanging out right there in that pocket on the right side in the channel. I think when you think about a pocket, you should think about that channel there. And in that channel, whipping left-footed balls, curlers over the top, inward, in-swingers, right onto Patrick Ajimong's head. I think that ultimately is a way that this club can score a goal in this match and potentially win. And people know that's going to happen. So I think tactically, Dean needs to kind of figure out what he's going to do on that left side. Liel Abada coming across there, making those back post runs. I think he's somebody that could do that as well. And then Brant Bronico is in the mix always in that area as well. Is it Brant Bronico or is it Karol Swiderski? That's the question to start. Is it Karol Swiderski or is it Brant Bronico in that position? Because Brant's in that mix, believe it or not, on that front line.
I mean, it's really tough to take Bronico out of the starting lineup. I can't see it happening. I could understand the argument that some would make is that Carroll and Pep have the chemistry and all that. But again, remember what I said last episode, which was that we get some agreement here from commenter Soy Mint, who just said, like, if you're arguing that, Patrick comes in against tired defenders and that's better, but Carroll wasn't doing a good enough job of making those defenders tired. So you need – Patrick's the one who gets the defenders tired, and Carroll – once they're tired, it really doesn't – anyone can be good against tired defenders, right? It doesn't really matter who you are. It's a matter of who starts the match to get those defenders to become tired. I think Patrick does a better job of that. I think Pat and Pep have great chemistry too. It's not like Pat and Carroll, it's not like yeah. Pep and Carroll have some special chemistry that is not replicated with
right.
your boys. I mean, you're the one that loves to say, Johnny, Pat and Pep. Like, remember how well they connected in the for goals together, assisting each other against New England in the sort of the turnaround of the season match. So I'm going to stand by it. I love the TIFOs. I love the Carroll stands. But I think the way to win this match is to start Pat.
Pat and Pep in the pockets. That's how Dean Smith, I think, gets it done on Saturday in Orlando. One name we haven't mentioned on the show is Jabril Diani, a player that gets the nod. He starts on Friday night at the Keep. It's somebody that I don't think a lot of people expected to get that start. Junior Urso headed to the bench. What a performance. What about his future? Do you think he gets the nod in that position, or is it Junior Urso on the road against his former club?
It's a tough call. I think that it's certainly very interesting that Urso earned his way in to the lineup based on a bad Diani performance versus Orlando, and then Diani gets back in based on a bad Urso performance against Orlando, right? So I'm looking at SofaScore ratings here right now. In game one of this three-match series, Junior Urso subbed early on a 6.6 rating. If I go to, let's see what they rated Diani in the nil-nil at home, probably higher, only a 6.9. So neither of them was particularly good. I hadn't checked this before, but West with the highest SOFA score rating besides Kalina, highest rated outfielder on the pitch, which kind of backs up my take that he was man of the match for the outfielders. Yep. But I think you got to go. you got to go with what has shown to work in a series against Orlando where you have not beaten them in 90 minutes all year, but you have held them to a draw twice. You got to go with the guy who got you there, which is Deonnie. I mean, I would start Deonnie again in game three.
It's a tough call. I think I kind of like the more defensive player on the road. I think Urso is got a chance to get the nod here, but could also have a quick this is a decisive game. This is a cup final match, pretty much.
Right. It's a season final, you know, for sure.
Yes, like win, exactly. Win which, home, it, yeah. which it was at the Keep, but it wasn't for Orlando, but it is now both ways. So, right. you know, exactly. both teams are laying it out for the full 90 minutes. And because of that, I think you could potentially give Urso the start with a really quick hook. You know, you're talking about because he's a defensive player, and and because of that, a quick hook can happen for an more offensive player, more forward-thinking player, which I think Deonnie is. I think I would rather have that, but it's a really tough call for Dean Smith, and I'm not sure which way he'll go. I'm interested to find out.
The one thing, we love Dean. He's at the wheel, all of that, but he's not known for his quick hooks. He tends to stick with his starting 11 a little bit longer. Even in this match, he was once again – Oscar Pereja made the first sub in a nil-nil situation, subbed in before Dean did it. So I don't know. If you promised me there'd be a quick hook, I'd say, yeah, start Urso, but I don't want to see Urso struggling and then playing 20 minutes longer than he should have. And I'm like, where the is Deonnie, you know? So I don't know.
That's a good take.
Didi played pretty well.
The back line is something that is expected for this club, and I think that's fine at this point. You've got your back four, Tim Ream, Andrew Privet, Adilson Milanda, and, of course, Nathan Byrne, those four on the back line. Orlando knows the four that's going to be on the back line as well. Mm-hmm. This is a game that I would be really interested to see something special happen back there, whether it be five men at the back during critical times with a Charlotte 1-0 lead, maybe in the second half. Talking about leaving everything out on the pitch. You're talking about Yuri, you're earning a player that is sitting there on your bench. You could really come on and have a really nice impact on the match if you're trying to grind out a win to advance.
Yeah, we all love Yere. This is a Yere safe zone for sure. It just has worked better with the other four guys, you know. And I think Yere knows that. We've had a chance to talk to a lot of these defenders throughout the year, and they all stress that the defenders' room is more than just the four that take the pitch. It's all of them together. They support each other. They work hard in training. We've shown that when it was nice. Beyond just the draw and then, you know, the AP after penalties winning or whatnot, not quite advancing yet, but like it's just nice that we were able to hold after Orlando looked so dominant in the previous two times we had faced them at Orlando and just looked like they were kind of they weren't necessarily scoring for fun, but they were creating chances for fun. And Facundo Torres was so dominant in that game one of the playoff series. Mostly shut down in game two, and that was a delight to see. I think the back line might finally have adjusted to see that, you know, enough film study and enough real world experience has come together to sort of coalesce in this. Maybe we actually can shut them down. It will be different again back at their place, but when it comes to the pressure that Charlotte FC is facing in game three, I think that they're built to handle it at this point.
A road match against Red Bull New York did not go well last year in the last game of the season. We'll see how this road game goes. This club needs to take that lesson that they learned and figure out how to apply it this season and get it done on the road and throw everything out to use the proverbial phrase, throw the kitchen sink out there on throw Saturday. Just throw it all out onto the pitch. If
the Crown is leading by a goal, you know, mid-second half, I fully expect to see what you just alluded to earlier a few minutes ago, which is, you know, put six defenders in there, put Didi, put Yere, put Ream, put Byrne, you know, send freaking Dino out there, have him put some cleats on and go play, just put everybody behind the ball, just trying to preserve that lead, because if Dean is very pragmatic, and I think if they're protecting a lead late, I like the chances to hold it.
Well, I do too, and I think the tactically it could set up for a bit of a smash and grab, where this club really leans on its physicality and it's wins free kicks, it wins corners, it lofts balls into the box, it uses the physicality there, and on defense as well, you control your own area with some physicality. I think ultimately you could maybe do that and nick one and win the match for sure. But and that's because you have quality. Abada can get in behind. Mm-hmm. Patrick can get in behind. That type of strategy with long balls and balls over the top with Pepe Allen cutting behind. It's not like a park the bus strategy. It's a counterattack strategy. It's a counterattack strategy is ultimately what it comes down to.
Pep in the pockets, baby. Exactly. We love invite the pressure and then punish the pressure. You know, it's a beautiful thing. Pat and Patrick punish pressure in the pockets. You know? Let's just keep it rolling, you know, for sure.
It's the Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes, Danny Brands. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us, especially those hanging in the live chat. Shout out to Brandon Davis, Troy Steele, Soyment hanging out as well. Other people hanging out in the chat this evening. For those listening on your favorite podcast platform, appreciate you listening to the show as well. Thanks for subscribing. We're counting down, Danny, to our 200th episode of Charlotte Soccer Show. It's coming fast and furious. I really, really hope the 200th episode happens while this season is still going. I hope it's not a post-season or an off-season episode. Yeah. But our 200th episode is coming up, and I can't wait to celebrate that with you and have a good time with all the TIFOs, our tremendous friends of the show.
I couldn't say it any better. You're exactly right. Long may it continue, as Ashley Westwood loves to say.
Legacy kiddo, thank you for watching the show this evening. And Danny Brams, it's a Saturday. It's a 6 o'clock kick. And can you give us a prediction? What do you think actually goes down?
I will give you a prediction. We also have to talk about, and it's midweek here. It's Wednesday night when we're recording this live. You may be listening on a Thursday or Friday. Dean Smith is going to talk on Thursday. I may bust out a quick decoding the presser for the season, also for Dean's words, just to get some commentary on that.
But yeah, build up the buzz. This is really a big match on Saturday.
What I want to ask you is, it is a big match. Do you have any match-watching plans? Because the club is hosting the official party at Fillmore, which is one of my favorite concert venues in the city. And I am tempted to almost go, but I got to be honest, it feels like a bunker mentality for me. This one feels like I may watch this one like under a blanket on my couch, just like with no one else around. Not that I don't love the community, but it's just like with so much at stake with – I came up with this idea because I was feeling a little under the weather today. Like it was kind of, I'm trying not to get sick. So like, I just feel like Saturday night could find me, just like locked in a bunker mentality to watch this one. I don't know. What do you think? I could change that plan, but I'm wondering if you have given any thought.
Well, first and foremost, I just really, really love the Saturday night, the 6 p.m. kickoff time, even if it does linger into like a 6:30 time. I love that time this Saturday. I think thank you MLS for getting that done and making that happen. Mm-hmm. But you know, for me, I think it's a game that you may get ready for, you know, get some food, you put out a spread, you get comfortable at the house, you put on your big screen TV, you kick back, you get it, you make sure that you've got your snacks handy. And you kick back and you enjoy it in an atmosphere and that you'd really like to be in. I think the Fillmore, if you weren't kicking back and enjoying it at the house on a Saturday night with the family, with a nice dinner and maybe some nice wine, maybe some beers, maybe you know, some other, you know, activities on a Saturday night, just hanging out with the friends.
I do have a fresh bottle of wine. I do have a fresh bottle of wine.
That could be something for sure. Well, we'll figure that out. Fillmore is the best. Fillmore is the best.
Yeah, I highly encourage people to go to the Fillmore. I'm just not 100% sure I'll make it myself just because of everything going on in my life. But I want to see a win. You asked me for a prediction. I'm going to say Charlotte gets it done finally in Orlando. I think it's going to be 1-0 victory. We do not go to PKs. Kalina maybe saves a PK in regulation, though, just to piss off that Forbes guy.
That's pretty good. I don't know his name. I didn't take note of his name in that article.
Ian Nicholas Quillen. Great. It was very good writing, but I just think we're due. I think we're due for we figured them out. It's tough to beat a team 3 times in a season, they say in a lot of sports. This would be our 3rd match at Orlando. It's going to be tough for them to beat us this time, I think.
I've got 2-1 Charlotte. I think Charlotte gets it done on the road. I think it's 2-1. I think the club gets a first half goal, and I think gets a second half goal as well. And I think concede, but I think a goal in each half will get it done.
Yeah.
And I think Charlotte FC has a chance to do that with a nice combination play early in this match between Pepe Al, Patrick Aujamang, and Leal Abada. I really like that front three. Those three just need to combine, get a goal in the first half, and then you've got Karol Swiderski coming off the bench in the second half, and maybe he's even playing with Aujamang in that situation. If it's 1-1 and they get the winner, I could see potentially something like that happening. I'm curious to see what the crowd is like in Orlando, because it's certainly not going to be like what it was here in Charlotte. I think I'd be interested to see what kind of home field advantage Orlando has. But I've got 2-1 Charlotte. And I think PKs could be possible. I'm not going to say they happen again, because I think, you know, it was such an epic moment, and it just feels like the star has burned out when it comes to PKs. It shined so bright on Friday night at the Keep, where it's right. I don't think either team wants to be back in that situation. I think Charlotte FC would accept it late in the match. But today, as we speak, they're not thinking draw; they're thinking win. That mindset might change depending on the what happens throughout the 90 minutes. But right now, of course, it's win.
Yeah,
not draw.
PK has got to be the backup plan. I think route one, as they say, needs to be route one. Like, let's go get some goals. Pat and Pep in the pockets, punishing pressure. Puck yeah. That's all I can say.
Yeah. The TIFOs for joining us on the show tonight. And as always, Danny Brams, it's a pleasure to talk to you. It's good to see you as well on the show. And it's a big time to say this. It's for the crown, baby.
I went too early.